names which distinguish us as a people distinguished from others by God's grace. The people of God are sometimes called the elect, those chosen by God from eternity, chosen as the objects of His grace, chosen to eternal salvation. They are sometimes referred to as the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the psalmist writes. Those who are specifically redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ are those who indeed in time are brought into sainthood by His grace, being saved by grace. And then in our text this evening, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. This very, very familiar text of Scripture. Those who are regenerated, those who are born of God, those who believe on and trust the Lord Jesus Christ are given this peculiar, distinct title. They're the called. Now notice that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now this particular title is given only twice in our English translations of the Scriptures. It's given many, many times in the Greek text, but for some reason the translators use this definite article in front of the word called only twice in the New Testament. Here and in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, God's people are called the called, as to distinguish us from those who are not the called. There are some in this world who are the Lord's sheep, and some who are not the Lord's sheep. Some who are the called in Jesus Christ, and some who are not the called. Now, obviously, that is to say obvious to anyone whose brain has not been pickled by the vinegar of Arminian religion, this call spoken of here is not the outward general call. It is not that call that goes forth merely from the lips of a preacher as the gospel is preached. But rather those who are the called are those who have been called specifically, distinctly, effectually to life and faith in Jesus Christ by God the Holy Spirit. And by this call we have been separated and distinguished from all other people in the world. I really like the way John Gill describes this effectual, irresistible call of grace which comes to chosen sinners through the preaching of the gospel. Listen to how he describes it. He wrote, "Christ stands in the gospel ministry at the door of man's heart and knocks and calls. Having the key of the house of David, He opens the heart by the power of His grace and lets Himself in. And in this way, and by this means, the Spirit and His graces are received. By this means, and in this way, men are called both to grace and to glory by the gospel." The Lord Jesus stands in the gospel ministry and knocks at the heart's door of chosen sinners. But He doesn't knock as a helpless beggar. Oh, no. No, no. He knocks, and as the King of glory, having the keys of the house of David, He wisely and graciously and effectually lets Himself into the hearts of chosen sinners through the call of the gospel. Now, tonight I want to show you three things plainly taught in the Scriptures, and then I want to answer one question. I want to answer the question as to who are the called. Are you called? Am I called of God? The first thing I want you to see is this. You can find this passage over in Romans chapter 9. Look at it for a moment, if you will. Those who are the called are called according to the purpose, the sovereign will and purpose of God. Sinners are not called to life by their will. They are not called to faith in Christ by their decision. They are not called because of any works they have done or any works that God foresaw they would do. Sinners are called to life and faith in Christ by the sovereign will and eternal purpose of God Almighty. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8:28, the Apostle tells us plainly that we who are the called are called according to God's purpose. So that those who are called have absolutely nothing to do with causing God to call them, do not in any way attract God's call, and do not in any way contribute to the call of grace. Look in Romans chapter 9, verse 16. Brother Ron preached from this text last Sunday, I believe, at the rest home. "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." And he uses an illustration to declare God's sovereign purpose and God's sovereign determination. "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now here's the conclusion of the matter. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden. Salvation is not man's work at any point, to any degree. Salvation is not a cooperative effort between God and man. How often you hear people talk foolishness and say, now God's done his part, you have to do your part. What part do you have? You're dead. What part can you perform? You're dead. What part can a dead man do to give himself life before God? That's absurd. It is utterly absurd. Arminian free will religion is the absurd religion of spiritual insanity. A dead man can do nothing. The question to be answered then, is man indeed dead? Are we indeed dead in trespasses and in sins? Did man in the garden fall into death? Or did Adam just stump his toe and incur some kind of little problem that we can get over if we'll just give ourselves enough time and enough exercise? The book of God declares that man is dead. And being dead, the only way we shall ever live, the only way we'll ever come to Christ, the only way we'll ever believe on Christ, is if God, by His sovereign power, by His sovereign grace, comes to the dead sinner and gives life by a call which no man can resist. God Almighty has in His eternal purpose determined the peculiar, particular people whom He will call by His grace. He determined from eternity the time when He would call them. For the time is set, and there is a time set for all purposes under the sun, so there is a time set for the calling of God's elect. Moreover, the Lord God determined all the circumstances, the place, and the very means and instrument by which He would call His chosen. Therefore, the call is called a time of love when the Lord God comes to us, a time of grace when He calls us. And He arranged from eternity everything necessary to bring chosen sinners to the place where He would be gracious in the time of His love under the sound of the preacher whom He has ordained from eternity to be the messenger of grace to that man's soul or to that woman's soul. The Ethiopian eunuch had been up to Jerusalem. I don't know who all he had heard up in Jerusalem. Don't know what all he had seen in that day of terrible religious apostasy. But he had been up there worshiping the Lord according to the commandment of the Old Testament. And he had the scriptures in front of him reading from Isaiah 53. And the Lord God took Philip, the evangelist, not Paul, not Peter, not James, not John, but Philip, one of the deacons. And he said to Philip, go to this way. And God called him away from a tremendous, tremendous outpouring of His Spirit, what men would call a revival down in Samaria, out into the middle of that road on the way to Gaza. And there He set him in the path of the Ethiopian eunuch. And he heard the man, I guess he's reading that loud, I don't know. He heard the man reading Isaiah 53 and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I can't read it, got nobody to tell me. He said, slide over, that's what he's down here. And he read to him and explained to him Jesus and the gospel of God's grace. And by God's arrangement, it was done as God purposed from eternity. Bless God for the distinct arrangement of God. He has made us to be the called according to His purpose. I love the way Top Lady expressed it in his hymn, 'Tis not that I did choose thee. For, Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. My heart owns none before thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing, if I love thee, thou must have loved me first. Secondly, those who are the called are called by the sovereign, irresistible power of God's grace. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. The great, impulsive, moving cause of the effectual call is the grace of God. This is what the Apostle Paul constantly declared. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Am I called? It's by God's grace. Do I believe? It's by God's grace. Do I look to Christ? It's by God's grace. Do I follow Christ? It's by the grace of God. Now look here in Galatians 1. As he describes himself as a pattern, an example of those who are called by God's grace. Verse 15, when it pleased God. That's when a man's called. When it pleased God. Now, if it were up to me, if it were when it pleased me, that little grandson of yours would be called now. Save him all the misery that he'd go through as a rebel. If it pleased me, our sons and daughters would be called as soon as they come forth from the womb, because that's the way we would do things. But when it pleased God, he called this one when he's 16, 17 years old. This one is 40, 50 years old. This one is an old man. This one as a young woman. This one as an older woman. But it calls. It is called when it pleased God that the believer is called. When God determined it. And God determined it from eternity. Look at it. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace. Now listen to me a minute. God, as the God of all grace, calls his elect to grace and glory in Christ. The infinite superabundance of God's grace in Christ was displayed to us in this call for the first time. Indeed, the first open display of God's grace, the first discovery of God's love, the first discovery of his glory in Christ was made to us in the effectual call. And then seeing something of that grace, seeing something of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, our hearts were irresistibly drawn to him by the power of his Spirit, so that he gently forced us to the Savior. Made us willing in the day of his power. I don't know of a better illustration. You think of a better one, I'll use it next time. But I've told you many times, when I first told Shelby I wanted to marry her, she thought I was crazy. She said so. She's always had a little backbone. She said, you don't know what you want. And I proceeded to court her. And I had to do what the Spirit of God never does. I had to hide every blemish of character, every fault. I kept those things in the background. And I just showed her the very best side of me. And before long, she was willing. She was perfectly willing because she saw then what she hadn't seen before. Oh, may God make you to see now what you've never seen before. The glory and grace, the superabundance of God's grace in Jesus Christ. If you see it, you can't possibly sit where you are and not come to him. If you see it, you can't possibly refuse to come, for that seeing him is the call of the Spirit that draws like a magnet, metal, like a magnet draws metal. It draws sinners to Jesus Christ the Lord. It is this call which reveals God's everlasting love. The Lord said, when I passed by thee and looked on thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Let me show you the text I have in mind here. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Sometimes we are accused by ignorant men of saying, well, you folks believe God saves the man whether he wants to be saved or not. No. No, God saves folks by making them willing in the day of his power, so that they want Christ more than life itself. And he does this by revealing Christ in us. Zechariah 12, verse 10. The Lord God says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. What does that mean? That means the time is coming when for every member of the house of David and every one of the inhabitants, the rightful, lawful inhabitants of Jerusalem, God's church and kingdom, every one of God's elect, the Lord God will pour upon you the Spirit of grace. And if he pours on you the Spirit of grace, he'll pour on you the Spirit of supplication. And they upon whom the Spirit is poured, the Spirit of grace and supplication, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. The fact that this call is given to some and not to others demonstrates that it is the effect or the result of God's sovereign, distinguishing, particular grace. And the fact that this call always in the Word of God is pictured and illustrated and set forth as being that which results in life and faith in Christ, demonstrates clearly that this call is always effectual and irresistible. Thirdly, those who are the called are the called of Jesus Christ. I've already quoted Romans 1:6. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We are the called of Jesus Christ, Paul says. Here in 2 Timothy 1, Paul is declaring the gospel for which he suffered imprisonment. And he says, God hath saved us, verse 9, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. That is, the calling didn't come because of our works. The salvation didn't come because of our works. But rather, it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He called us according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, what does that text say? God, from eternity, called us with a calling according to His purpose and His grace, a calling and purpose and grace given us in Christ our surety before the world began, and He saved us. And then in time, He sends someone with the preaching of the gospel by the power of His Spirit and brings life and immortality to light in our souls by the gospel. In other words, there is a very real sense in which those who are the called of Jesus Christ were the called from eternity, and in the time when we experience the call of God's grace, we are simply brought to the light and knowledge by blessed, gracious experience of what God from eternity has done for us before the world began. Oh, preacher, you preach like that, that takes everything for man to do out of it. Now you understand what I'm saying. That takes everything out for man to do. You mean man's will, man's works, man's prayers, man's Bible reading, man's church attendance, man's doing has nothing to do with God's call? Nothing whatsoever. Those things, lad, just the result of God's call. They're the result of God's call. We are the called of Jesus Christ. Called by the Holy Spirit, those who were redeemed by Christ. Called by the Holy Spirit, those who were sent by Christ, or to whom the Spirit of God has been sent by Christ. And this calling in Christ is a calling which is given us in Christ from eternity, because all the riches and all the treasures of God Almighty are in Christ, even this calling. There is no calling apart from Christ. Paul was speaking to a gentleman earlier this week. He told me about it last night. I said, God may call a man without knowing Christ, without knowing who Christ is. Oh, no. No. This calling of God is the calling of God in Christ. And we are the called of Christ. And those who are called of God have been called by the revelation of Christ, not just to me, but in me. That's what Paul said in Galatians 1. He's revealed in us. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. The called are called then according to the purpose of God, called by the grace of God, and called in the Son of God. Now let me, before I send you home, show you who are the called. We are never left to speculation or guessing or just trying to figure out who this is. Let's study and study, and maybe we can figure out who the called ones are. People try to make things so confusing that are so simple. The book reveals very plainly. As a matter of fact, I want to simply show you from the Scriptures. You just turn and read the Scriptures. I started to say I won't make any comment, but I'll probably make one or two. It doesn't need much comment. It just needs reading to see who the called of Jesus Christ are. First, go back again to our text in Romans 8. Romans 8:28. The Word of God stands on its own merit. It doesn't need defending by us. It doesn't even need much explanation by us if you just read it. Those who are the called are exactly the same as those who were chosen and predestinated unto salvation in Christ before the world began. Now let's see if that's what the book says. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. Now here's His purpose. Here's how they're called. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Isn't that amazing? Same people. Same people. Well, I wonder if that really means the same. Is there any possibility it means anything else? I mean, is there any way possible to read that text and say, now, He called some and predestinated others? No. They're the same people. Then He also called, and whom He called, then He also justified. So those who are called of God are those who were predestinated by God and those who are justified by God. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. Now then, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, all hell can't damn us. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, our own hearts and our own sin shall not condemn us. If God be for us, everything's all right. Everything's all right. This is one of the terrible, deluding problems of modern religion and the silly bumper sticker slogans of religion. Smile, God loves you. If I say to Mark Henson, as a lost man, God loves you, I'm telling you in your unbelief and sin, everything's all right. Because if God loves you, nobody's going to destroy you. Not if God Almighty loves you. If God has purpose to do you good, God Almighty, all hell can't do you harm. Oh, no, no, that's not the teaching of Scripture. The teaching of Scripture is, as Mark Henson, as surely as you believe on the Son of God, God loves you. He purposed it in eternity that you be called by His grace. And having called you, He proved His love to you. Now then, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. The objects then of election and of effectual calling are the same. Those who were chosen in eternity are called in time, and those who are called in time were chosen in eternity. Look in Romans 9, verse 23. God will make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom He hath called. He will make known the riches of His glory. Those who are the called of Jesus Christ, according to Jude, verse 1, are those who are in Christ. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. We were in His hands from eternity. In His hands is our covenant surety. In His hands as sheep in the hands of the shepherd, for whom the shepherd alone is responsible. In His hands as the Savior to whom we have been given by God the Father from eternity. In Christ Jesus the Lord, in His heart, as our husband who loves us. In His loins as our representative before the Father. Those who are the called are those who were in Christ from eternity, in God's decree and purpose, and brought to be in Christ in time by the call of His grace. Thirdly, those who are the called are those who were redeemed and purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now I want you to turn to two texts of Scripture. Turn to Isaiah 43 and Zechariah chapter 10 again. Isaiah 43 and Zechariah 10. These three things always are given to the same people. All the way through the Scriptures, there are no exceptions. Those who are elected are redeemed. Those who are redeemed are called. And you might add to it, those who are called are preserved, and those who are preserved are glorified. God's elect
are those to whom the Son of God, or for whom the Son of God was sent to Calvary, for whom He made intercession in John 17, and they are they for whom He suffered, bled, and died in redeeming blood at Calvary when He suffered for our sins. And those who are chosen of God in eternity and redeemed by Christ at Calvary are those who are called by the Spirit in time. Look here in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. If Christ redeemed you, no reason for you to fear anything. I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You're mine. Now look in Zechariah 10, verse 8. I hadn't looked at this passage in a long time until today. The Lord says, I will hiss for them. Who's trying to get my attention? He doesn't try to get your attention. He'll get your attention. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. I preach the gospel with confidence most of the time, knowing full well that at God's appointed time, through the preaching of this word, the Lord God will hiss for them whom He has redeemed. And then He'll gather them. He hisses in providence, and he hisses while I preach. Oh, and then He calls. And when He calls, He gathers. He gathers. Now then, those who are the called in Jesus Christ are about always those who appear most likely to be called, most unlikely to be called. Listen to this. Our Lord said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not always, but generally. God calls nothings and nobody. Not always, but generally. You'll find God's prophets raised up from those that men would look at and say, well, if there's anybody on this earth that might be sent to the electric chair or gas chamber or spend the rest of his life in prison, there he is. And God says, I'll take him. I'll take him. And He calls them by His grace. Publicans and harlots almost always go into the kingdom of God being called by His grace before scribes and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees sit around and discuss and debate who's the holiest and which church is the truest and where heaven is and when's the Lord going to come again and where did Cain get his wife? And that's what I asked you the other day, did Adam have a navel? Oh, that's deep stupidity. Stupidity. But harlots, public. Oh. Guilty. Hell deserving. Hell bent. Doomed. Damned. Ungodly. Filthy. Helpless sinners are interested in just one thing. Oh, I wish I could get you interested in just one thing. Mercy. Mercy! Only in mercy. Those who are the called of Jesus Christ are those who ultimately are glorified with Jesus Christ. They are irresistibly called and infallibly kept by the grace of God. Oh, may God now call you by His grace to His kingdom and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.